Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 249 of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast for Thursday, October 15th, 2015. Look at that, 15 and 15. I'm your host, Mark Kuznets, as always, and as always by myself on this here podcast, though I wouldn't mind having some special guests sometimes. I'll have to look into seeing if I can get some people around. I also have to look into how I record that, since there are certain pieces of software that I would use that no longer work, or maybe they work again. Anyway, if y'all didn't already realize, which would be incredibly surprising if you didn't realize, the next episode is the big... It is a big number. Well, these are all big numbers at this point, but it is the big 250, which is also said more commonly as 250 or 250. People don't need to add in the 100. They already get it. They get it. It's 250. 250. How much is that iPod? It's 250 if you multiply that by 2. Because no, what iPod is 250? Well, I guess the Shuffle. Not the Shuffle. What was it? What was that? Not Nano. Nano. The Nano. Do they even make that anymore? I don't think they make... I know the Nano, they made it cheaper when they turned it into square, but then they made it bigger again, didn't they? I don't know. I don't really pay attention to Apple stuff that much. Because I don't really like Apple from a business ethical standpoint. But I do own a Shuffle and an Air. That's it at this point. No more iPads for me. Though I would very much like to still buy an iPhone, but I can't. And there's a Moto G that I'm looking at, and I'm like, this could be okay because it doesn't seem to have all the bloatware, but it's the lower-end model. Why can't they just give me the 2-gigabyte model, the 2 gigs of RAM? This is all tangent crazy. Anyway, 250, that's the next episode. It should be a big episode, right? Should be super exciting. Do I have anything planned for it? No. But it's a thing, and yeah. The only thing I would love for that episode is to have a whole bunch of new listeners come in. So if y'all really like the show and haven't already, I usually say this at the end of the show, but please do rate and review the scrub, rate and review, and subscribe to the show on the iTunes. That really does help out a lot. And if you think your friends might enjoy hearing me blab about this crap, even if they would just like it for a little bit, you know, maybe tell them about it. That would help too. And getting some new, fresh blood. If they would not like it, or if you think they wouldn't like it, don't tell them about it. If they overhear this and you're like, I know they wouldn't like this, don't tell them what you're listening to. Because I don't need someone checking the show out and being like, this sucks. And then they actually are proactive, and they go to iTunes, and then they rate and review it, and they give it a terrible review and tell everyone not to listen. That's not good for me. Well, actually, I think potentially the actual rating and reviewing would still give it like that push to shove it in more people's faces. But the lower star ratings and the negative words, that would be bad. So I think that's like a win-lose situation, more on the lose side, but I'm not exactly sure how that would work. Either way, I think it's best for everyone to not tell them if you know they're not going to like it. I don't want to talk to people who don't like what I'm saying, and nobody wants to listen to me when they don't like... I don't know why anyone wants to listen to me in the first place, because look at this. I'm like 5 minutes into this show, and I'm just blabbing on about I don't even know what. It's all garbage. But yeah, 250 is coming up. It's crazy to think I've hit 250 already with this show, but yeah, I mean, it used to be, for a short period of time, 4 episodes every week, I think. Well, I know 4 episodes. I'm not sure if I ever tried doing 5 episodes every single weekday, but I know I did 4 for a time, and I think I took Wednesdays off. And it used to be weekly at a time, and then it was maybe every other week for a brief short period. Then I took an elongated break, And now I'm back to doing two every week. So this show has had an incredibly odd schedule where it's been so much, so much, so much, then so little, then nothing. And now it's twice a week, which is not too shabby. Maybe some people would rather I just do one show, but I'm good doing two. But yeah, so I'll get on with the show now because I can't think of anything else to say that isn't related to the actual stuff I want to talk about. So I picked up Transformers Devastation from Redbox. I saw they had it, and I got a free rental code, and I was thinking maybe I should rent Mad Max. And then I was like, no. That's a game I really would and will, when I eventually buy it, dive deep into and play a lot of and just go around trying to 100% and collect everything. It's not the type of game I can, that I should or really need to play for a handful of hours or so in a rental, because I would just be renting it for a day. It's something I could game fly, but a red box for Mad Max would not make sense. But Devastation, that is a short game. That is the perfect rental. But it's also, if you're somebody who likes to complete games, if you want to get achievements, trophies, it's not a rental, because those are in place strictly, solely, 100% for elongating, lazily, cheapishly, the experience to make a short game, quote, long through annoying achievements in that sense. Very just like kind of Gen 1 G1 achievements. Back in the day when achievements didn't get much thought, that's the type of achievements we get in town. Transformers Devastation. But the game itself, from Platinum Games, it's a lot of fun. It's definitely better in short doses, so I think it would actually be, it would have been a perfect bite-sized $20, $30 game, downloadable. I know you can download it for 50, but if this was $20 or $30, I would have bought it, because it's just so much fun, and especially in short doses. And it's also incredibly beautiful. It is, if you look at it from a technical standpoint, yeah, I'm sure you could nitpick things, or not nitpick things, but I mean, if you put it up against something like the new Uncharted or Halo or whatever, the fidelity, the number of polygons, all that kind of stuff, it's not going to be as high. But stylistically, it just looks incredible. It's so colorful. It looks like how you remember the cartoon looking in your head, but it's actually better looking. This is maybe like the best the Transformers have ever looked. The G1 ones, at least. But I would also say they look better than the Transformers in the latest movies, because the Transformers in the, what's his name, Michael Bay, in the Michael Bay series of movies, those are very Rob Liefeld in, or even like Todd McFarlane or stuff like that. They're basically just like, hey, how detailed can we get these things? How many lines can we put in here? How many pockets and little satchels and crap? I know they don't actually have satchels, but you get the point. They just feel overly done, overly complicated, because they can be. Whereas in Transformers Devastation, they choose style over abundance, not substance, abundance. And it just looks fantastic. And the gameplay is simple. It's fun, like I said, but it can get repetitive, so that's why I feel like it's better for short doses, better in short doses. It's a basic kind of beat 'em up hack and slash, but more of a your action point of view camera, like a Ninja Gaiden or whatnot. And it's just a lot of fun. It's a lot of dumb fun, and there's stuff in there that I wasn't expecting. The story, I didn't really pay much attention to, because here's the surprising part. I'm not really a big Transformers fan, so that part of the game, all the nostalgic feels and all that, and being invested in the world or liking the characters, I don't really care about any of that. It's really well, I can't say the story's well done, but the voice acting, all the original actors who were there, really well done. And I have to say, I'm not sure who the actor is. I don't remember his name because I don't know if he's done really anything else or not. But the voice actor for Optimus Prime, he just is so damn good. Like, he just has this type of voice that you just... Man, I just love his voice. I don't know what it is about it, but I really, really, really love Optimus Prime's voice. I always have, and I mean, it's still great. It's just, there's something about it. But that's all really well done. But the story is, I just skipped it every single time because I'm not invested in this universe. But it's there, and it could be maybe good, but yeah, it's just, it's a surprising game because I wasn't expecting to have as much fun with it. I saw little bits of it, but I did not think it would look as good as it does. And then there are these collectible aspects to it and loot. I didn't realize that you would be able to collect weapons in the game and then put them together with other weapons to make certain weapons stronger. And then you have like power-ups, which are, I think they're called the tech, and you can implant or whatever three of them per robot, and you go through a really simple kind of, stop it when it's in the hot zone to create tech little mode, and it's not even worth calling it a game or any, even a mini game. But you can do that to improve your character, their stats. So I didn't realize there was as much, I guess you say it's RPG elements, even though it's, whatever. But I didn't realize there was going to be leveling in that way, leveling of stats, collecting of loot, upgrading loot, and doing all kind of crazy stuff. And the fact that you can change weapons, you know, you're not stuck to just using a certain kind of gun with each character. Some weapons can only be used by certain robots, but it's not forcing you to use only one kind per character. And you can play as multiple characters, and they do feel different, so that's nice as well. Though you can change that slightly with the weapons you choose. And yeah, it's just a fun game. I think it's, I don't want to say $50 is too much, especially when Activision just released Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 5 for $60, which is a pile of hot trash. But it does feel like $50 just seems like a really weird price. It's like, why didn't you just charge $60? Like, it's between the more, at least what I would call common budget, quote, budget price game of $40 and the full price AAA games that are $60. It's right in between those two spaces, and it just feels like it doesn't know where it wants to go. Like, I don't know. It just, $50 seems like a really weird price. When I see $50, I'm like, huh? I find that price to be so confusing and so weird. Which is weird in its own way, because why would I find a price to be weird like that? But there is something odd about it. And I think if it was $40, it would be a much easier sell. I think that I would, even after playing it, and I completed the game, but I think maybe it took me, because I did skip cutscenes and whatnot, and I didn't collect everything, but I did do a decent amount of collecting. And there's also like side missions or challenges, I guess would be a better way of putting it, in the map. I finished it in probably about 4 hours. And it definitely, it's split up into 7 chapters, and there are various missions which are just kind of random encounters in those chapters. But the first 4 chapters were kind of just, they were a good length. They were a decent length. The last 3 chapters were just kind of, they just like happened really fast. I feel like the last 3 chapters happened in 30, 40 minutes. Because they were just kind of like, here are a few boss battles and few small encounters, and there you're done. But like I said, I skipped the cutscenes. And yeah, I really enjoyed playing it. Even though I'm not a huge Transformers fan, I thought it was just incredibly beautiful. Every time I looked at anything going on screen, I was just like, this is so pretty, this is so pretty, this is so pretty. That was going on in my head the whole time, which is kind of annoying. It's kind of annoying to be playing a game and I'm trying to listen to a podcast and all I'm hearing is, this is so pretty, this is so pretty. I'm like, shut up, me. Shut up. But I just couldn't shut up because it was so pretty. And then I also, when talking to Lunchbox on Twitter, I came to the realization that I would kill. And I'm not sure if Activision has the license. I can't remember who has the license at this point. But if Platinum Games made a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game in this style with these type of visuals, I would die. I would die. I would buy that for $60, even though it would be overpriced if it's the same exact type of game because of how short and whatnot it is and how the achievements are just here. Beat all the chapters with this character. Beat all the chapters with this character. But everything about Transformers Devastation, pretty much everything, makes sense for a Ninja Turtles game because you have multiple characters with different fighting styles. You have, yeah, you'd be more limited in being able to wield various weapons of collecting loot and that kind of stuff, but you could still reinforce things and you can have fun with that to an extent. And then other things, I mean, just the leveling of stats and just the visuals. That's what I really want. I want to see a Ninja Turtles game look this good because it just looks so good. And I know it's not going to happen because nothing good with the Ninja Turtles game-wise ever happens anymore. I haven't played that, I think, Danger of the Ooze or whatever, Way Forward game. I still haven't played that one, which I think I heard mixed things about, but the Ninja Turtle game space has been just incredibly disappointing. Out of the Shadows was okay, but there were some camera issues and some other stuff. I didn't hate the art style on that, but I feel like that was, it was close to being what I would have liked to have seen in a Turtles game to some extent. But give me Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Devastation or whatever your subtitle you want to pick. I don't care. Ooze Station, Oozy and the Oozer Nunts. I don't know. Just give me a Platinum Games Ninja Turtles game, and I will die a happy man. For sure. Because that's all I want. It's all I need. I also played some... So yeah, I'm done talking about Transformers. Really great game. If you have a Redbox near you, check it out. It's definitely worth checking out. I also checked out, just for a smidgen, Toy Soldiers War Chest. And I think what a lot of people complained about was the whole fact that the G.I. Joe and all that kind of stuff, Cobra Commander, He-Man, Assassin's Creed, and maybe some other property, that was all DLC and not included in the game. Because that's kind of the more, the characters with more, well, character, but I don't know, it feels like Toy Soldiers, and I mean, so far it does, and I can see myself getting into it in the whole fact that there's a lot of kind of grinding one can do to unlock upgrades for turrets and characters and a whole bunch of stuff in the game. But I played the tutorial level and the level after that, and I enjoyed it. It doesn't really change anything, and in some ways it feels like there are more things behind walls, but I haven't played enough. And I've heard that And I think this is another thing that people might have been upset with, that there are things locked behind Uplay, like actual modes or something, which that would suck, but I'm not sure about that. But I'm enjoying it. I like the fact that there's like weekly challenges in it. That's cool to keep you coming back for more and all that. But yeah, I'm enjoying it for being a Toy Soldiers game, like the previous Toy Soldiers games. It doesn't seem like they went out of their way to change things up, but I don't hate the fact that it's more Toy Soldiers. I like Toy Soldiers. I don't, whatever. Maybe I'm missing something, or maybe there will be a point where I'm like, oh, this is why everyone wasn't a huge fan of this game. But that's pretty much it game-wise. I'm still playing Forza, enjoying that. I actually have gone, I think, 24 hours without playing any Metal Gear Solid, which is, that's something. I don't know, I'm kind of over it, just because at this point I'm just going in there to recruit soldiers, and it's getting tiring. And I just kind of, I know that there are all these other games that I need to play and should be playing, and I don't want to let Metal Gear Solid completely overtake me for any longer. I've put enough time into it. I'll get back to it eventually. But yeah, that's pretty much it game wise. Anime. I have been watching more seasonal anime, some new shows, but first I want to talk about a show that I decided to, because I've realized that even watching as many shows that are currently airing as I am, there are still points where I'm waiting for the next episodes to arrive, and I have nothing to watch. So I had to find some stuff from the old backlog to watch. And the show I picked just randomly was Natsume's Book of Friends, which I'm really, really liking. I'm about, I think I've finished 10 episodes of the first season, so I'm almost done with the first season. I think there are at least 3 seasons, maybe 4. And if you remember when I talked about Mushishi, this is a lot like it. It's about this young boy, Natsume, who is able to see yokai, those monsters and whatnot. And he has inherited this ability to see these monsters by from his grandmother, who had it. And she had this book of friends, quote, Book of Friends, which is a book of all these names, various names of yokai, and having those names allows the owner to control and basically turns all those yokai into their servant. And he basically is on a quest to return all the names to these various yokai, because he's, he doesn't want to command these various monsters. He doesn't even want to look at them as monsters. He wants them to be free and not be an owner of them in a way. So he does this with the help of another yokai, Madara, who is this really powerful yokai who takes on the form of a fat cat. And it's funny when he acts like a cat, but it's play, their relationship is playful, and it's a bit funnier than Mushishi. But what I like about the show is that it is kind of Monster of the Week, and I like the fact that each episode stands on its own, but there is more of an overarching story than in Mushishi. And what I like is that, like Mushishi, it's just a very quiet, soft, soothing, mellow, just, it's a very, like, easily digestible anime. It's something that if you're getting off of something really crazy and bombastic, this is a nice way to just kind of mellow out for a while. So I like that. It's sweet too. And it's, to compare it to something a bit current, well, it is to something that is current. It's kind of like the soft version of Ushio Totora, because they're both funny in their own ways, but just comparing the OP and end themes for both shows, you have your like hardcore rock for Ushio Totora, And you have your very kind of soft, not folky, but acoustic, just sweet songs of Natsume's Book of Friends. So I really like it. I think it's an older show, so it's not an HD streaming, at least. I'm not sure if it's available on Blu-ray, but yeah, I really dig it. It's a very nice, pleasant little show. And I would definitely recommend checking it out. It's on Crunchyroll, all of the episodes, I believe. And yeah, definitely worth checking out. So, in addition to that, I also watched the first episode of Brave Beats, which I didn't know what the hell that show was going in. I just figured it looked like some colorful, playful show. You know, style-wise, it reminded me of like, oh, Pokemon or Digimon or stuff like that. And I think it might be from NIS. I'm not sure. I feel like it's from some bigger organization or some, I don't know. I don't know what to say there. But it's a dancing anime. It's an anime about a robot male thing that is sent to Earth to collect these stones after he tried to battle the king of some planet he's from in a dance off or something, and then it's like your moves don't have any heart or something, so he sends him to Earth and breaks up this one stone into a bunch of pieces that now this dancing robot needs to go and collect in on Earth, and there's dancing in it and dance battles, and he's going to team up with this other human who he needs a human host in order to utilize his full dancing power, and it's just weird. I didn't know what the hell I was expecting, but I wasn't expecting a breakdancing anime battle thing. It's just weird. I think his name is like Breakin', and he has a affinity for the family's robotic vacuum cleaner that he likes to just sit on and spin around, and it's just nonsense. It's silly, silly, ridiculous nonsense. Maybe it might be entertaining in that way, but the entire first episode for me was like, what am I doing? What is this? What is this crazy nonsense? I didn't watch this right away because I wasn't sure if I needed to watch previous series and all that, because I don't know how everything with this franchise goes, but I checked out the first episode of Mobile Suit Gundam Iron Blooded Orphans after finding out that it's its own universe and you don't need any past experience, because I've never actually watched a Mobile Suit Gundam show. I own one manga. I haven't read any of the manga either, and I haven't read the one book I own because it's like volume 5. I just think those, I really want to read that series at some point. I think it's the Origin series because the hardcover collections are so damn pretty. They're so well produced. They're so just beautiful to look at from an aesthetic, you know, design point of view. But yeah, I watched the first episode, and it's a hard show to kind of talk about just a single episode, because I can tell that this is really just the building block of what's going to be a hopefully entertaining season, hopefully entertaining series, but it's really just kind of setting up what's about to happen and basically being like, here, this is where these characters' lives, their journey, their story starts. And I'm excited to see more, but you know, it really is just an introduction episode, and you know, I'm waiting to see where it goes. There's only been the one episode so far, so can't really talk about it more so than that. But I enjoyed what I saw. I do kind of wish it was a bit more colorful, but I understand why it's not, and every anime is not going to be colorful. I think the watching this show that has giant robots in it while also playing a game about giant robots, the visual fidelity, colors, and all that beauty that is Transformers Devastation kind of probably was like, man, I wish Mobile Suit Gundam looked this pretty and this good. But it does look good, just not that colorful. Other than that, just a bunch of other stuff. Keeping up with other shows that don't really need mentioning. I will say that Dance with Devils, I just think the show is okay, but I don't understand why it randomly has bits of song and singing in it, because I want more of it. When it happened in the second episode, like near the end, I was like, yes, this is ridiculous. What is this stupid crap? I love this part of the show. Why can't this be everything? But then it's not. I'm just like, ugh, come on. What? It feels so out of place because it's not so prevalent in the episode, in each episode. And I'm like, either go full throttle and just throw songs in all over the episodes, or just get rid of them. You know, 100% or no 100%. Don't give me 15% musical. I want it all or I want nothing of it. Because it just is weird to have it randomly thrown into an episode. Because I could see this show being like a demon, devil-fueled, fantastical West Side Story type of anime if it was more devoted to actually having a lot of music in it. But it doesn't, so I don't. It just is like weird. It just is a weird thing. And that other singing, the actual High School Musical anime, is just garbage with crappy music. The music in this song in episode 2 of Dance with Devils was actually good again. I enjoyed it, but it's just random and weird. I don't get it. And that's pretty much it. Yep, anime wise. I can't remember if I mentioned watching this show before, but I have watched the first 3 episodes because I think that's all it still has aired of Shin Attachin Chi. Or no, I've watched, yeah, 3 of them. And this is a really, really slice of life show. Literally, it's like an orange with so many slices because it just feels like, I think it's broken up into 3 different little stories, and then those stories are broken up into like little slices. And it's cute, it's funny, it's about this family with a very, 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 very highly stylistic art style. Very just kind of crazy. I could see this in a Sunday cartoon type of style, but it's fun. It's fun, it's silly, it's cute, it's relatable. I will definitely say that slice of lifey in that sense. It's a very relatable show. It's a lot of moments that if you're young or if you're old, you can be like, oh, I remembered that. There's a part of it where the son was reading this manga and he's like, this guy's wearing sunglasses. They're so cool. I wonder what I would look like with sunglasses. So he goes in the mirror and then he puts his thumbs and forefinger together and puts those around his eyes. He's like, how does that look? No, that's not right. Then he gets some pieces of paper and blacks them out and cuts them out like sunglass shades, puts them over his eyes. And he's like, I can't see anything. This isn't working either. Then he's taking a shower. No, he's taking a bath and the glass fogs up. So he marks out the eyeglass shades on the actual mirror. And he's like, nope, that's not right either. And it's just all these different ways he's trying to see if he puts on 3D glasses and like, nope, mm-mm. And, you know, that's like, I didn't do that exactly as a kid. But there are times where I'm like, this is cool. I'm going to try and do this. Or just singing into the mirror in the bathroom, stuff like that. That, you know, it's relatable in that way. Yeah, and I enjoyed it. But, yeah, that's it. And that's all for today's show. So, once again, I'm your host, Mark Kuznez. And I hope y'all enjoyed this episode. I hope y'all come back for episode 250, which will be so exciting because it'll be like every other episode. But y'all can find me on the Twitter, the Instagram, the Xbox Live, the Snapchat, PX Sausage. I'm looking at my stupid TV. It's like, Can't shower from here? No, can't slower from here. Stupid Xbox. But yeah, PX sausage on all those places. And of course, the site is pixelatedsausage.com, where you can find this podcast and the other podcasts I do about video games, which is all about video games. If you want to hear about video games, check it out, Pixelated Radio, which you can find at pixelatedsausage.com as well. And yeah, some other podcasts you should check out, also about video games, Sign In Podcast at signinpodcast.com. If you're into racing, the Sports Car Unleashed podcast at scunleashed.com. And then if you're into nonsense, check out the Undercover Unitards podcast at undercoverunitards.com. Hey, Hotcakes, man, has your streaming actually been working? Because I've been trying to watch it, and it hasn't been working. Get on that. Or it hasn't been working for me, at least. And I think that's it. I can't think of anything else to say. Oh, yeah, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, crap, whatever, if you want to yell at me, do so on Twitter first and foremost, because that's the easiest way to keep in contact with me. Or you can leave a comment on this post. Funny thing, my site now works through my router. I don't have to go through a stupid ghost crap. I can just actually check out my site without having to change my IP address. So that's good. I don't have to simulate that crap and deal with that nonsense. Which nobody even remembers or cares about, but that's a good thing for me. But you can comment on this post, or you can email the show, psp@pixelatedsausage.com. Or if you feel super crazy, I would love to get some for the 250th episode, leave a voicemail, 312-772-5874. Once again, that is 312-772-5874. That 5874 spells out Kush, which is what I did when I first got that Google Voice number. But that's it. That's all. I hope you all had a lovely, lovely time listening to this garbage. And I hope you have a lovely rest of your day, a lovely Friday tomorrow, and a lovely weekend. I will talk to y'all again for the 200th time, 250th time, on Monday. Which I hope y'all still be a listener by then. Because who knows what could happen. Jeepers creepers. Okay, everyone. Adios. Bye-bye. Why do you listen to this crap?